All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing the local podcast. Good morning, good morning. It is December the 12th, 2023, halfway through the month, almost halfway, I guess. Hope everyone's having a great day. It is absolutely gorgeous outside, definitely chilly, definitely December, makes sense. But I hope it's awesome wherever you are at. We are back to work. It is Tuesday. Came to work this morning. Sat down, tried to do a podcast earlier. Just wasn't quite feeling it. I think that's because I just had a, I don't know, anytime I come back to the salon on Tuesday, there's a lot of shit that I got to take care of when I come in here. And I don't know, maybe that was on my mind. I just was not feeling it. So I thought I would skip it and take care of some of my chores that I have around the salon. I got everything done, ready for my first client, and then I get a text at, I don't know, I think her appointment was at 10. I got a text at like 9:50 telling me that she will not be coming in. Great song, 7 o'clock, Pearl Jam, live in Chicago. I've always loved that song. It is off their latest album. They're actually supposed to be dropping a new record. Big fan of that idea. But I love that term. I love when he sings that lyric, freedom is as freedom does, and freedom is a verb. You know, freedom is a verb. Freedom is a verb, whether it's in our personal lives, right, or whether it's in my recovery life. And the fact, what I take from that is that it just takes a lot of work. It's freedom is an action word, right? And it takes a lot of work on my part to find peace, freedom, serenity, right? That's what it all ends up for me is being serene. Serenity, serenity now, right? And but it is. It takes a lot of work. And I sometimes reflect, my anniversary is coming up. And usually when that comes up, I try to think, I reflect, right? And you know, one of the things I've always said that has been required of me, or a choice by me, I shouldn't say required. It is absolutely a choice. But I will say that it's going to a lot of meetings, right? Meetings are the key. And if you don't want to go to meetings, it's the first sign that trouble is ahead, right? And that's coming from a person that's experienced it, right? I've gone through periods early on in recovery, tons of meetings. And then, you know, moving and, you know, didn't take many things to deter me from going to meetings but not being aware of all that and, you know, finding myself back in the damn bottle, Right. And so what I've learned today is that it just takes a lot of meetings. And the other problem with meetings, though, is they become monotonous, right? Boring. You know, it gets to be a little bit of a grind. I personally do not find it to be a grind, but I know people in early recovery, middle recovery, late recovery, you know, it can come up. And, you know, I'm sort of going through that a little bit right now. And not that I'm going through it. I'm just trying to, I guess, prevent it. And so, you know, I've shared before, I try to go to 3 meetings a week. That's sort of a deal that my wife and I have made. If I had to go to more, she would absolutely be cool with that. But, you know, it's trying to find that balance of life, right, and recovery. And the more recovery, the more life you get, right? When I came into this program, I didn't have much of a life. So there wasn't much else for me to do than to go to meetings. That was the beginning of me rebuilding a life, or actually just initially building a life for the first time, right? I have existed, I have partaked, I have been involved, but I have never really had much of a life. I've been more of a burden. And so to be, or start to become free of that, you know, that demon, right? That freaking, all that shit that I used to carry around, and start to build up a little bit of a life. And what comes with life, you know, we start having relationships, our jobs get better. You know, some of us get a job, right? I don't know what it is. For me, it was before I got sober, I was working in a gas station, right? Before I got sober, I was working on a golf course. I was at the bottom of the barrel of people, right? I was just a laborer. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that's all I could be. I couldn't be relied on, right? I was really of not much value to anybody. And so when I remember I was working at the golf course and, you know, got sober, and my life just started to improve, and going to school and getting a career and getting a wife and having a child and buying a house and all of the things that normal people get, right? These aren't crazy achievements. These are just naturally what most people get, right? I mean, at least what I've seen. I mean, I know the world is different and everyone has their thing, but at least in my little world, that seemed to be the route, right? You go to school, you get an education, you get a job, you get married, and you buy a house, and you live happily ever after. And I hadn't done any of that. So getting sober, I started to have that happen. And what happens is I became too busy, too sober, right? Too serene. And I say that with a smile because I had no clue what serenity was back in those days. But in my mind, I was killing it. And we start to pull back from the meetings. And we start to have things that happen, right? We got to go do things with the people that are in our lives. We have our children. We have our work. And sobriety, unfortunately, recovery starts to be put on the back burner. I've gone through it. And so today, right? Fast forward, you know, I go to 3 meetings a week. That is what I try to do, at least 3 meetings. I'll sometimes get a 4th meeting in if I'm asked to speak or just because I'm enjoying it, right? I personally enjoy meetings. I enjoy going for the hour. I find it to be a little bit of a reset, right? I'm usually in the moment of what self wants, and it's always, you know, a break check. Like, hey, you need to go do this. Let's go do it. And so I'm always trying to figure out how to keep meetings and recovery interesting and exciting, because sometimes it's not, and I don't want to fall back. So I'm always trying to, you know, look at other meetings. I've shared I usually go to a Monday, a Wednesday, and a Friday night meeting. That's what I've been doing for a while. But I was asked I decided to go check out this meeting down in Rehoboth on Saturday nights, which I used to go to. And it's funny because, you know, there's almost like this before the pandemic recovery, my recovery life, and then there's this life after the pandemic. And all the people that I used to know and all the relationships that I used to have prior to the pandemic were not all the same relationships I had once the pandemic was over, right? I remember one meeting opened, and it was in Long Neck that I did not used to go to that meeting at all. I had been, but it wasn't part of a regularly scheduled meeting. And I started going back to it because I needed to get back to meetings, right? So I was willing to go wherever I needed to. And I started to build relationships with the people that were sort of associated with that area and that meeting. Now, granted, a lot of the people that I knew prior to the pandemic were attending the meeting too. So it wasn't a completely new crowd, but it was some familiar faces and some new faces. But over time, and I know it's been a bit, pandemic didn't just end yesterday, but I'm still starting to run into people starting to come back out to meetings. You know, a lot of people got into the Zoom meetings. Whatever kept you sober is perfect, right? But now I think people are starting to want to come out. And so I'm running into, you know, a lot of my old recovery family, right? And this meeting, the Saturday night meeting down in Rehoboth, was always a big meeting that I used to go to. In fact, I think at one point it was actually a home group of mine. The tough part is we've moved and the town's gotten a little more popular. The traffic gets a little more crazy. So I do not know if I will attend this meeting in the summer, but for the winter now it's perfect. And, but you know, I'm starting to get back into some other meetings. And so I'm sort of at a stagnant point with my meetings. I was going to, the meeting I started on Saturday is a step meeting. The meeting I was going to on Monday is a step meeting. So I'm sort of, you know, picking and choosing here. I actually, there was a couple other things that happened. I don't know if I talked about it in the last podcast, a little bit of a personality clash with a buddy of mine. And we're fine, right? We talked, or we, you know, he left me a message. And, you know, the great thing about recovery is like, listen, regardless of who was wrong or right, like, hey, you know, we're still sober. We need to still be there for each other. We can't let this get, we know better. Right, we know better than to let this go any farther. And so whoever needs to, maybe both, make amends and clean it up is what we should do. And it's exactly what we did do. But it's still a reminder that, you know, I go to the same meeting so much that I'm starting to try to, I'm getting a little stagnant. So I'm looking around, like, so I'm going to that Saturday meeting. My wife and I like to go out on Friday nights if we can. That's sort of cutting into that Friday night meeting. So I think I'm just dropping it. I'm going to drop the Friday night meeting, and I'm going to replace it with the Saturday night meeting, which I've actually been asked if I would do, if I would chair for the month of December, and I have been bringing in speakers. I got to get a speaker for this Saturday. So I'm sort of dropping that meeting, right? So I'm and then yesterday I found a great meeting, and it's so funny because, you know, in a small town, you're really limited to, you know, how many meeting sites, right, there are. And so the Friday night meeting that I do go, that I'm dropping is now, is in the same place that I'm now, which was, I found out yesterday, has a 12 o'clock noon meeting in the same spot. It's a dry dock. It's a recovery house, sort of. You know, we're going to do alkathons and stuff. I mean, nobody lives there, but it's, you know, there's tons of meetings that come out of that building. And so I found out yesterday there's a 12 o'clock. I went to it. I have nothing really going on at 12 o'clock on Mondays. It is my day off. So I went and checked out the meeting. It was freaking great. And the cool thing about it is a big book meeting. And the big book, you know, I have lied to myself. You know, I tell myself, yeah, you've read the big book. I've read these books. I haven't read the big book. I have gone to big book meetings. I've always seemed to have had a big book meeting in my world for a while. And, you know, we read along and you read along. And, I mean, I definitely have read some of the main early parts of the big book, you know. I forget the titles. But, you know, the main ones, To the Agnostic, the Employer, The Wives. You know, I got the gist of it. But there are a lot of great stories in the back. And so this meeting that I went to yesterday, Monday at noon, down at Dry Dock, is a big book, and we read this story. And I don't even know exactly this page, but it's called, the story was, He Sold Himself Short. And I think it's on page like 260, 259, 260, somewhere in there. Great story. But what I thought was interesting is it talks about how, you know, early program, there were six steps, right? Step one, complete deflation. Step two, dependence and guidance from a higher power. Three, moral inventory. Four, confession. 5, restitution. And 6, continued work with other alcoholics. I just found that super interesting how over time they've evolved into 12 steps. You know, I was thinking about, you know, complete deflation. You know, I talked about this in the first time I tried to do this podcast, which was, you know, I guess back in those days, you know, early, you know, when this program started to get fired up, you know, there was a lot of people that really pretty hopeless. You know, if you were an alcoholic, oh my God, the phone's ringing. If you're an alcoholic back in those days, it was pretty grim, right? It was, hold on. All right. Sorry about that phone. But yeah, back in the old days, man, if you became an alcoholic, it wasn't a great outcome. There wasn't a lot of solutions, jails, institutions, and death. Oh my. So, you know, when I read that first step, ego deflate or complete deflation, you know, I never really had that. I've said this before, you know, I compare it to when I was a kid. You know, I got into this habit of ditching school. I had my first girlfriend, and I would rather ditch and hang out with her. And I just kept getting myself farther and farther, deeper and deeper into this hole. And no pun intended. But the fact is that my dad would say, you know, did you go to school today? And I would say, I did. And he goes, do you have all your homework done? And I would say, I do. And it was a lie. And I was living this lie, and the lie would go deeper and deeper and darker. And then finally, you know, the shit would hit the fan, and I'd have to confess, yes, it's true. I've been ditching. Yes, it's true. I'm a liar. I'm failing, right? And then there would be a solution, right? There would be this huge release of all of this bullshit that I had been pulling for however long. And then finally this, you know, it's almost like an exorcism. Finally, get it out. It's all out. And then hopefully we could come up with a plan to move forward from there. Unfortunately for me, it was just same old shit over and over. I would do the same old thing. And it was constantly this lies and then, you know, revealing the truth and then a plan. And that seems like how, you know, 4 or 5 years of my life early as a teenager were. And so when I read this, it talks about that, you know, complete deflation. And, you know, when I admitted I was an alcoholic and that my life had become unmanageable, everybody knew it, right? It wasn't a secret. You know, my parents had always believed alcohol was fine. You can't smoke pot, you can't do meth, you can't do other drugs. But alcohol never seemed, you know, to be a big deal. Obviously, they didn't want me drinking before the age of 21, but that was sort of loose, right? You know, 18, 19... You know, what happened? I was drinking, you know, you're not supposed to drink beer, but okay, right? It wasn't a huge deal. And so when I quit drinking, everybody knew I drank, right? It wasn't a big secret. There was no deflation. It was just, yeah, obviously you're a freaking mess. You look at you. And so I feel like that there was something, you know, maybe more, especially early on, maybe it was a bigger secret back in those days. I mean, it's pretty obvious when you're drunk. But I just never had that real bright, shining, burning bush moment when I revealed that I am an alcoholic and my life has become unmanageable. It just never happened. And so I just thought that that was interesting. And then there's some other things in there, but it's just, you know, it's cool how this program has evolved. And you know, I'm just super grateful. I love reading these steps, but the whole point of the story is that I'm trying to find some new meetings because my meetings are slightly getting a little stagnant. And so, I'm going to start going to this Monday meeting. I got the Saturday meeting, and then I've got my Wednesday night meeting, which is my home group. And then, so that's 1, 2, that's 3 meetings, right? Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. And, you know, the one thing I've learned getting sober is that I got to keep keeping it fresh, right? I got to keep adding things. I get to keep trying to go to new meetings. Just because I say I go to 3, that doesn't mean I won't add a 4th, right? That doesn't mean I won't go back to that Friday night meeting. That doesn't mean I won't go back to the Monday night meeting. It just means that I'm adjusting, you know, because I want to keep it interesting. And one of the big things is reading the big book, right? I love that I found this meeting that it has this big book. It's a big book meeting because I find it very interesting. Let me see. I wanted to read. I wasn't even going to do this podcast. So if this sounds terrible, I apologize. I just had a client cancel. And I'm like, you know what? Now I got an hour and 45 minutes to sit here. So why don't I try again? So I'm trying again. Here it is. All right. So today's daily reflection, a common solution. December the 12th. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered, that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out of which on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 17. I'm going to read that again because for some reason it went in one eye and out the other. Let's see. The tremendous fact for everyone, every one of us, is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. That's Alcoholics Anonymous, page 17. The most far-reaching 12-step work was the publication of our big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. Few can equal that book for carrying the message. My idea is to get out of myself and simply do what I can, even if I haven't been asked to sponsor and my phone rarely rings. I am still able to do 12-step work. I get involved in brotherly and harmonious action. At meetings, I show up early to greet people and to help set up, and to share my experience, strength, and hope. I also do what I can with service work. My higher power gives me exactly what he wants me to do at any given point in my recovery, and if I let him, my willingness will bring 12-step work automatically. Yeah. Yep. I've always, you know, I've shared before, I didn't think I had anything to offer. And, you know, we don't... It's like my buddy calling me the other day. I shared that in that podcast. You know, he called me. He wasn't expecting that to be 12-step work, but it turns out it sort of is. And turns out it sort of is. There, I put a little. I feel like my lips are popping. But yeah, it's, you know, be a greeter, right? Show up early. Just show up. People see that. People coming into recovery, they need to see people in recovery. So, you know, we can do all sorts of stuff. It's all good stuff. How much time do we got here? Yeah, we got time. Anyway, just a short podcast. I'm going to finish out this song. I'm a big fan of this song. Yeah, I hope everyone has a great day. Listen, if you're going to a lot of meetings and you're getting stagnant, go find new meetings, right? Go find something. You know, if I'm going to go to a meeting, I might as well learn something. Right. And that's the other meeting I want to keep going to is that Wednesday morning meeting too, which is an As Bill Sees It. I enjoy that one as well. But, you know, As Bill Sees It, the big book, the 12 and 12, whatever it is, try to incorporate. I have tried to incorporate those into the meetings that I go to. If I'm going to go, I might as well learn something and keep it interesting. And, you know, if you don't like doing a lot of reading, find a different kind of meeting, but do not start to slack on the meetings because they will save you. If you're not going to meetings, you're headed towards a drink, unfortunately. Later.